DW.
If you're standing long enough in the one position, it's like sand. You can kind of bring up water, you know.
Can you imagine walking across this on a winter's day when there'd be millions of gallons of water falling down on top of it? You'd feel the ground shaking.
Evelyn Slevin and Paul Connerton are making their way through Carrignagapplebog in County Galway, Western Ireland. They've both been involved in the restoration efforts for the bog. Started in 2011, their efforts have apparently begun to pay off. There's plenty of water in the ground beneath Evelyn's hiking boots and Paul's Wellingtons. Paul Connerton is a farmer and retired conservative politician who served 30 years in the Dáil, Ireland's national parliament. For decades, he had fought for his right to cut turf in this very bog. Now he's committed to restoring it and mending the damage he and his local community have done to the ecosystem over the years. Bogs in Ireland and around the world are, to put it simply, wetlands which are fed mostly by rainwater. This attracts particular plant species which hold the water like a sponge.
This is the sphagnum moss now that they're talking about. It carries 25 times its own weight in water. It just swells out like that.
In World War I, sphagnum moss was even used for bandages. But it is the raw material of another substance that has been far more defining for Ireland, peat. As the sphagnum moss thickens, the lower parts will be squeezed below the water table. In this acidic environment with little oxygen, a layer of 1 to 10 mm per year turns into peat. When properly dried, peat is flammable, and since 20% of Ireland's landmass are peatlands, it has proven a valuable source of fuel for Ireland. Otherwise, energy was scarce for the poor country, which relied heavily on agriculture. Just like other peatlands, the Carrignagapplebog was heavily exploited.
And you think to look at it now, there was no one in it for 100 years.
Yeah.
Now, in my time, we never saw anything that would say that hill was way higher. I saw the bog, I saw 12 and 15 feet tall, and it's now only 6 or 7.
All the turf that once gave the bog its dome-like shape has been cut and burned, leaving the bog almost flat. Before being able to cut turf, peat farmers would have to lower the water table. They would have dug trenches to accelerate the water's runoff and to dry out the bog. This very drainage system needed to be reversed for renaturation purposes. Paul is now standing next to a chunk of bogland which was put there as a plug.
That drain was closed now. There was a drain down along there, and you can see where the machines put a big block down on them, you know. It has stopped the water, you see, from flowing right down this way on its way out to the rivers. And if you keep blocking it miles and miles up that way, it'll mean that, you know, as time goes by, the bogs generally start growing up.
In total, around 4,000 of these simple dams have been installed, most of them out of peatland, but there are also stronger ones made of plastic or metal, which can hold more water. As we walk down a gravel road from the middle of the high bog to the perimeters, more water can be seen and heard running down.
You have a little bit of a jump, but it's not major like. If you go down.
Here is where peat dams wouldn't be strong enough to hold the water coming out of the bog. This is where the more sophisticated metal barriers come in, as Evelyn Slevin explains. She is the public awareness manager for the state-run bog restoration program.
Basically, we were saying with the hydrological assessment, we had to measure the flow leaving the bog, and also an additional to that, the peat dam was installed to slow the flow. And what we're doing here is monitoring the dissolved carbon in the water.
Intact bogs work as carbon sinks, while decades of turf cutting have doubly harmed the Earth's climate. For one, peat is a very ineffective fuel, meaning that you would have to burn lots of it and emit lots of greenhouse gases to produce little heat. At the same time, a dried bog also emits carbon, because as soon as the rotting plants are above the water table, the composting starts. That means the carbon that the plants have extracted from the atmosphere while growing is now emitted back into it. Damaged peatlands worldwide make up almost 6% of man-made greenhouse gas emissions. Peatland specialist Florence Renew-Wilson from University College Dublin is one of the experts involved in assessing the bog's water quality.
This is all about carbon, really. I mean, biodiversity, yes, I could talk a lot about all the rare species, but it trumps the fundamental issue here we have is every day a drain bog is emitting carbon to the atmosphere. Every day, it's just constantly. So if we plumb that and if we put the lid on that, at least Ireland would be in a better place from a carbon perspective.
However, when you drive through Western or Central Ireland, it will never take long until you catch the unique, savory smell of burning turf. In most rural areas, peat is still the main fuel for heating. In the central county Offaly, which has been known for industrial turf cutting, the rate of turf as a primary fuel in homes was still at almost 40% as recently as 2016.
Give it more air and it'll light up.
In a remote part of County Galway, the Duffy family still prefers their cast iron furnace over their oil heating. But they now use wood instead of turf, which is more convenient to cut. Martin Duffy, a white-haired man who is now 80, has harvested turf most of his life. Every spring, the turf was cut into briquettes with a special spade called slane and piled in a way so that it could dry. It was hard work with hours in a stoop posture. In early summer, people would collect their harvest with donkeys or later tractors.
Everybody did it. Everybody had their own plot of turf and everyone would be on the bog, of course, at the same time. And it was kind of a social thing, really, because you'd make the fire on the bog. Maybe one fire could do two or three families and boil the kettle for your tea and you'd have the crack, as we said, while you'd have your lunch. And it was a lovely social occasion.
Crack is Irish for a light and upbeat conversation. For many, turf is tied to positive emotions. Or as Martin's wife Marion puts it,
you know that there's going to be heat when you smell the turf, you know the fire is on.
Yeah.
And even to see the smoke coming out of the chimney, it's a sign of life. When everybody was burning turf, and if you didn't see smoke coming out of your neighbour's chimney, you'd say, I wonder, are they all right?
Back in Curranagapal Bog, Paul Connaughton knows these sentiments fairly well.
Just one second now, we used to come out here.
At 77, he still recalls when he was first taking turf cutting at the age of 7. But for reaching Ireland's climate targets, this tradition has to come to an end. The state-owned industrial-scale turf producer Bordna Mona stopped harvesting this January. 33,000 hectares of their industrial peatland will be restored with funding from the EU recovery plan. And smaller bogs across the land are also being restored at an accelerating pace. When the Irish government decided that the Curranagapal bog was to be restored in 2011, the government left the choice to the turbary right owners. Those are the local people who inherited the family right to cut turf in a certain plot. Around 90% decided to take monetary compensation. 1,500 euros per year for 15 years. Paul and his family opted to be given an alternative patch where they could still cut their turf. In some way, this explains how Paul turned from a fierce defender of turbary rights to an advocate of Curranagapal's restoration.
Like all politicians, I'd argue that I didn't change my position because I always said in the Dáil that I wanted to keep cutting turf, and I am. So that gets me out of that hole, you know.
So Paul hasn't entirely reformed his ways, but the ecologically valuable Curranagapal bog is to be left untouched. The restoration program is supposed to be a model project, an inspiration for other communities as to how they can enjoy rather than exploit their restored bogs. Over the next few months, there will be boardwalks and amenities installed so that the neighbors can enjoy their bog and educational groups can learn about this unique ecosystem. For peatland specialist Florence Renew-Wilson, bringing the community on board is key, also for similar projects all over Ireland. Only then will most private turf cutters really let go, says Paul Connaughton.
There's a certain hardcore of people, as I told you before, that'll keep on cutting irrespective of what the law is. You know, some of them would prefer to go to jail than to stop cutting. But they're getting so small and so old, I think the game is over, you know.
For DW, I'm David Eel in Ireland. DW.